Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
I love all God's creatures, but mostly the hairless toxic ones.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay? It's me, Eric Williams. If you hear a whining dog in the background, it's because I'm a single parent for the week. My husband's out of town for work, and he is needy. I don't know. I've been, like, constantly throwing shit at him. You know, fetching, if you will. And he still is just... Anyways, we have Zach Zimmerman on the podcast this week, and as one of our gorgeous listeners, Jason, commented on Instagram, finally, and I agree, Jason, fucking finally, he is such an incredible stand-up comedian. If you've seen his clips online, you know it, and if you don't think you have, you probably have because they are everywhere. He has an incredible answer to the character actress question, and it brings up a movie from my youth that... almost turned me straight. So wait for that because I hope I'm not alone in thinking that this movie was almost changing the course of my future. This weekend I went to a baby shower of a dear friend of mine, and it's just so crazy to think, like, when did we become these people? Don't you think that you're a child still? I was at this party and everyone was like, they have thriving careers, children. I was at someone's house in Echo Park, a gay couple with a baby. I literally went up to the host and I was like, you are living my dream. I want to have a house and a baby, and this is amazing. And he went, yeah, it's so fun. Like, harrowing. A harrowing statement with a fear in his eyes. But I still want it. Sue me. You'll hear a story from that baby shower that was truly devastating during this episode. So enjoy that one as well. With that little teaser in mind, we're going to go for it. The episode with Zach Zimmerman. Make sure to pre-order his book. It's called Is It Hot in Here? Comes out November 1st. It gives you the details of that at the end of the episode. And of course, follow the podcast at Gay Ass Podcast. And you know, I love to ask for you to send it to one friend that you think would like it. I love you all so much. Stay warm. And by that, I mean cool, because the earth is boiling. We have mutual friends. Jay Jordan has done the podcast. And so I feel like this is the full circle moment. And thank you for coming on. That's a Gay Ass Fucking Podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
I also have to wish you a very happy belated birthday. How are you doing? How was it?
Birthday was good. I'm entering birthday detox now.
Are you a type of girl that does like a week of celebrations?
It ended up being more than it wasn't supposed to be, but because the party wasn't on that actual date, it felt like the actual date, there was like the digital celebration where sure. It's like you're sort of liking all your little comments that say happy birthday, you're fielding the texts, you're sending the emails. And then once that was all over, then I had to do in person, like celebrate. And then another friend was out of town and I did a barbecue with her. It's really, your birthday is not about you. It's about other people.
It's marketing, it's events, it's also, I feel like, as a gay person, do you feel the pressure to solicit nude pictures from people?
No.
There's such a thing going around where when it's your birthday, it's like, you know what to do, send the nudes. And I feel like you are such an evolved gay man. I'm surprised you're not like, were you not receiving cock on cock on cock?
I received one cock after being asked whether I wanted cock or ass.
Options.
And while usually I would want ass for this in particular person, I think I want it cock. And But wow, that makes me feel left out.
No, it's not that you're, it's actually that you're probably a balanced human that's not feeling the need to solicit nude photos from people on the internet to feel whole on your birthday. But that's just me. And I'm not shading the people who do it. I just think like I'm finding it, when it does come to the day of my birth, I'm more occupied with thinking about how close I am to death and what I haven't accomplished.
Yes, it's a dark day.
Maybe that's why actually people want the nude so they can be distracted by pole.
Rather than the hole inside their little hearts. The big thing, though, that I learned birthday over birthday compared to last year. Last year, I had a little get together and I bought pizza and donuts for everyone, which I was so excited about. But then no one wanted them because I'm a summer birthday and people aren't eating pizza and donuts in the middle of July, I guess. Ugh. So I'm, and it's humid. And so the whole party, I'm like forcing donuts and pizza on people. I wasn't having fun. I was trying to, you know, minimize the money I threw away.
I was just talking to someone about like birthday parties, weddings, bar mitzvahs. Rarely the person who's being celebrated has anywhere near the most fun.
Yes. No. That's why now I'm like, when's your birthday? I want to...
September 21st. I'm 2 months away.
Oh, wow. Then I can have fun there rather than... I'll never have fun at mine. You have fun at other people's birthdays.
Okay, you'll have fun at mine. And also, you catch me like in 2 months posting, asking for poll on the internet, and you're going to be like, wait a minute.
Hypocrite. Hypocrite. Can I post today? Be like, can I ask for solicit them now? 2 days
after? Yeah, you can do a 2 day post. I mean, it's no rules. I think in this world, follow your bliss.
I feel like I have a fair number of like straight people that look to me, and so I don't want to misrepresent our community to them.
Oh no, you're not going to be misrepresenting if you're asking for naked photo. I think if anything, you're going to be like on a pride float representing with aplomb.
Do you have a close friends? That's the other to-do I have. Like, it just sounds very painful to sort through everyone in that
way. I do have a close friends, and I had a really mortifying exchange recently amongst a group of gay men because we were talking about how many people are on our close friends, and someone was like, I only have 7. And then, Eric, how many do you have? And I don't know if I'm going to actually public. I mean, I will.
Hundreds?
No. Wait, do you have close friends?
No. I it just overwhelmed me. Like, I don't...
Zach, I'm impressed.
What am I putting on this? Is it... Because some people do it just... It's like naked stuff. So, should I just put people who are interested in that? Or am I like complaining about comedy things? Like, I just... Or sharing darkest sides?
Yes. I think it's very, very correct that there is a split identity of what it's being used for, especially amongst gay people, because majority are doing it for thirst traps, which I think can be very enjoyable. Just like, okay, I don't want to have all of my people see this, but like, let me do a little... Like, for example, I've been much more selective about posting my naked form, my shirtless form, only because actually, I'm not joking. When I recorded this podcast with Tommy Doe over a year ago, he was kind of telling me his own journey with like, you know, it's like we should really examine why we're posting certain things. And when he said that, I was like, I truly do it for validation reasons that doesn't feel actually healthy. And so like, I was posting a lot of shirtless things during the worst parts of the first year of the pandemic where I was like deeply sad and unemployed. I'm just like, and so I've since then tried to be really thoughtful with when I share my hairy chest. However, on close friends, if I feel like I need a little oomph of a pick me up, I will do that. And I do it sparingly these days.
Little dopamine bump.
Exactly, a little bump of the dope. But in this day and age, I do sometimes see people who use it to complain. And I personally think we're going into an era which is just thirsting. But like, but also that's for gay people. Straight people are like, look at my knees.
What if we? What if we do both? What if when you complain, you have to post thirst? Like, it's combined. It's like, hey, here's my sexy form and here are the darkest thoughts of the week. This is me being a little person, and this is what my butt looks like now.
Here's my bulge. Also, UPS lost my package.
Someone did something funny, and I forget who it was, and I'm sorry to attribute to them. They used it. There were jokes for everyone, and then there was a version of the joke just for close friends, and it went like back and forth. And it made me want to like craft some sentence where everyone thinks this is what you've said, but if you're close friends, you hear
it's a completely different. Yes. I mean, that's intricate. That's like those people that do tweet threads where like the first word of every tweet for a year comes out to like the lyrics of.
Yes. Something. I saw that guy recently.
Yeah.
Like a months long journey.
Oh, I can't imagine the organization, let alone
the level of restraint. The tweets, I'm firing off, you know, today's thought. There's 1 second of editing on most of those.
Oh, I'm inspired by your tweets daily because you are so off the top. Like,
I go to the gym and I feel no I feel endorphins and I'm like, every thought is perfect.
That's actually really, that's a good like encouragement to go to the, to be active, which is just like to be able to have the confidence to spout off random things. Like one of the things you said that was so funny, that what might have been a gym tweet, was talking about sexting. It's mostly saying, yeah, oh really, you think so, just pretend you didn't hear what the other person said and you'll be hot and heavy in no time. That's so good, huh? Oh yeah,
it was literally while I was sexting with someone, I was like, what is this, where I said something and he's like, yeah. I was like, okay, I guess I have to say it again another way.
That's true. What do you,
thesaurus, while you're like sexting.
Hit the ball back, come on.
And it's that was someone who there's probably no chance we'll ever physically meet. We like matched on an app and he lives in the Philippines, and so it's really just like a very,
I was gonna ask if it was a geographic circumstance, but I didn't think it was the Philippines.
I've looked at flights, they're far. I don't know if it's so, it's good for what it is, and maybe we'll meet one day.
Can you tell me what is so attracted to you about the person in the Philippines? Like,
he's very hot.
Your type?
He's incredible. Oh, I love all God's creatures.
I love that.
But they tend to have no hair on their bodies at whatsoever. And be bad for me. They tend to be bad for me.
I love all God's creatures, but mostly the hairless toxic ones.
But this one's a little sweetheart. He calls me Zachy. It's cute. There is like a genre of relationships of like incredible intimacy and cute, like I'm married, like marry, talk cutesy with this person that I will never probably meet in person.
I think that's like another sign of the times. Like there are people that I have very, like I've talked to on the internet for years upon years, and most likely will never meet them in person. And I don't know what that means, how I feel. I think it's kind of cool. And on a crush basis, it could be deeply sad to like, but you never know, like your Philippines lover might all of a sudden be in New York, and what if you have like a 3-day love affair, and then what if you get cast on 90 Day Fiance?
I'm most likely to be on 90 Day Fiance. I can feel a world where, as a result of failed dating experiences, I just commit.
Oh, I would love to see you on that. I think the casting directors would have a big win with you. I do have to ask, speaking of fiancés, do you feel personally affected by J-Lo and Ben Affleck getting married? How are you coping?
I just saw in Vegas, no less, right?
No less, at like midnight in a chapel.
I'm proud of them, I think. It's like a reboot, right? Of
it is, oh my God, it's our modern day reboot of like, instead of a TV show, just people's lives.
They both married other people, right?
Yeah, I mean, they've had many a journey. I mean, Jennifer Garner went through a lot with, I do feel like Ben, my distrust of the entertainment industry right now has a hard time believing that the J-Lo Ben marriage, whether they're, I really hope they're happy, but it feels to me like such a machine of a contract, because it's such a good Hollywood story. And again, they could be like day-to-day hopefully kind of happy. Ben to me feels dark. There's a dark-sidedness. Have you seen the cigarette pictures of him just like, or like, aren't they like the beautiful ones of him like spilling Dunkin' Donuts? I mean, it's just so good, but there's a darkness to him that I hope is not dimming J-Lo's light.
But, oh, I see. But that also about makes them a good pair.
True.
Light and dark. Maybe J-Lo needs that negativity in her life.
I hope that she views it as such. I hope she's like, I just need it's a little Debbie Downer.
What I need to happen is I need Ben now to avenge his new wife's dignity, to go back to that street J-Lo went to and said she used to live in this house. And like, who used to live in this house? And she's like, J-Lo. And she's like, who's that? Who are you? I need Ben to go in an action epic movie and like defeat that man by making him watch all her films.
That fucking man. Who? I mean, he was actually sexting when you think about it. I could not believe that someone who lived in her childhood home
and didn't know.
And didn't know A, that she lived there, and B, who she was. Who doesn't know Jennifer? I went on like a whole tangent about her documentary on another episode of this, because I love J-Lo so much. I also was surprised that she changed her last name. I don't.
What did it used to be?
She's Jennifer Affleck now. like married name.
Lopez Affleck or Affleck Lopez?
I saw a post that the certificate said Jennifer Affleck.
This is exciting because I haven't really thought about this. And so you're getting to experience. This is how my brain works when I'm like, okay, what is funny about J-Lo and Affleck? Now I'm like, okay, we've got Jennifer Lopez became low, J-Lo. Affleck, what does that become? Affle? Jaff. I haven't gone to the gym yet, so that's why these aren't, you know, genius takes.
Listen, no. I can see the wheels turning, and you're on your way to at least 100 like tweet. First of all, do you want to get married one day?
Oh, great question. I think my conception of what's romantic success looks like has evolved a lot in the past year. And so while maybe as a child I wanted to, I think I want to have like 4 or 5 husbands / partners. Like,
oh, I love
why that. Have zero? I right now have zero boyfriends. It'd be fun to have like 5 boyfriends or like,
yeah. Are you talking about at the same time or just one after the other? Like J-Lo?
Oh, I think at the same time. I think I have a lot of love to give and it's too much for one person. And so if I spread it out, I hedge my bets a little bit better.
And also, you're probably having really good, distinctive sex with all of them.
That's what we're after in 2022. Distinct sex.
Distinct. And also, like, conversation, if you're into that. Like, I think, like, each person is going to have a different thing. When you're at dinner, I was just talking to a friend literally last night about all the new friends that I'm making in L.A. since I moved here somewhat recently. And
you're in L.A.?
I am. Can you believe?
I've been talking to you like you're a New Yorker.
Thank you for doing that.
No, I have to lie to you now.
Fuck. I was in New York for a long time, though. Does that make
I think of you
count?
As a New Yorker, knowing
Thank you.
Not much about you. I mind you're a New Yorker.
I appreciate that because I lived there long enough to, I think, get the New York energy, but now I just, like, have a better life. Is that okay to say? But I was talking to a friend about making new friends, just friendships in general. And I think that my trauma of Judaism is that I think every single friend you need to be able to share your deepest, darkest things to every friend. And like, and then my barometer inside is like, oh, if you don't have that relationship, should you question the friendship? And my friend was like, you know, you are allowed to have friends who you like just have fun with, or you like, they don't have to go that deep. And that was like a revolutionary thought. Is that insane?
No. Eric, I'm getting chills because I needed to hear that too. I literally have told my friends, like, I want all my friends to like cry to me. Like, I only feel like we're actually friends if you're sharing the worst parts of your day with me. And they're all in relationships, so their partners get that. And then I just get the scraps of like, I want you to feel sad to me. I want you to like come to me when you need things. And that is eye opening that you can literally just have fun with people rather than think about it.
It wasn't an option in my head. I was like, wait, that's actually revolutionary because I was conditioned to be very black and white about a lot of things, success and failure, friendships or no friendships, successful marriage or not. Like it, and I've said this before, when Matt and I, my husband and I used to have fights, my immediate response in my head was, oh, this means that we're going to break up. We're bad.
Catastrophizer.
I'm a catastrophizer. I was a catastrophizer, and so much therapy has like led me to realize the gray. And I think it's okay to say that Matt and I went through like a period of when he had COVID and then I had COVID, and then like he was also out of town while I had COVID, and so I felt like really like lonely and very sick and sad. And like when he came back, we had to recalibrate a little bit. And my therapist was trying to normalize to me that like the recalibration is okay, but my catastrophizing brain started to feel like, is this meaning something bigger? And she was like, you have had a lot of fucking changes, you moved, you have a new dog, blah, 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 blah. And so like, give it a second. And all of a sudden, like a few days ago, I could tell we settled and it broke, and I was like, oh my god, like that's the lesson I have to learn over and over and over again.
Wait, we might be the same person. I'm the same catastrophizer, black and white thinking, going big. It's great for creativity, like inventing worlds, but it's terrible in like human relationships. I just like left my best friend, had a barbecue for me, and I'm on the way home like, does she like me? I don't know if she likes me. Like, this is my, my negative thought used to be, I have no friends. And now it's like, do my friends even like me?
Like, oh yeah.
Why? I mean, I'm sure there's parts of me they don't like, but mostly they like, they're keeping me around.
Of course. I literally was at a baby shower yesterday and we played a game that, long story short, I tried to give a funny answer out loud and I was a little profane. And I got my laughs, but then it went, and there was a young kid there. And
they'll say something nasty one day.
I know, right? And they were like, the one of the people being honored at the baby shower was like, sorry, Lucy, whatever her name was. And I literally, I'm not joking you, went to like two of my closer friends that were there. And I was like, oh, shit, I did something bad. And then I crouched down and hid. I hid.
Wait, I have the same shame or fear of doing something wrong. Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes weddings or baby showers like not fun because you're walking eggshells. You can't be yourself.
Well, the problem was I was myself and then I beat myself up for being myself. And then like the cycle, I will say the cycle lasted shorter than it would have lasted many years ago because I was like, shame, 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 avoid, 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 hide, hide, hide. Was that so bad? Okay. That was kind of bad. Maybe it's not as bad as you're saying.
What was it?
I said, the prompt was, what is knowing the two parents who are having a baby, what is the first word that you think the baby is going to say? And I was like in front of like a lot of people and I should have taken the time to think of a really good thing, but I went literally, I felt the pressure of doing it fast. And so I went reading out loud and thinking as I'm reading out loud, what is the first word they're going to say? Oh, well, knowing, we'll say her name is, I'll just say her name, knowing Kara. Pussy. I literally just like shouted the word pussy. Laugh and then gasp. That's what the audience did.
Fuck. Pussy's funny.
Pussy's
funny.
So funny.
Wait.
And then someone's like, she thinks it's pussy cat. Pussy. It's
Sarah just a pussy fiend.
No, she's just really funny. And like, I literally just like went and like aunts can sometimes say crass things. And I love her. And I think like, why not pussy?
That's so sweet. How old was the kid that heard pussy?
I'm going to guess 7.
And I won't have children. Why is that bad? They'll like then say pussy a lot.
It's not act. I think maybe it's actually bad for the mother. The parent was there. And I think like making sure the mother wasn't mad. I think by the end, and actually Kara made me feel so much better when I was saying goodbye. She was like, oh, that child has heard so much worse and even like came up to me and said blah blah blah. Like I was like, okay, we're fine, but in the moment it was devastating. Zach, I need to interrupt myself because I could talk to you for hours, but I have to ask a famous podcast question. Zach Zimmerman,
you gave me a heads up on these. Am I allowed to say that? I don't know my answer to the second one, but I know my answer to the
Well, now you're getting ahead of yourself, Zach. Let's think about the first one. Whose fault is it that you're gay, Zach? Who do we blame?
I'm a late bloomer and I didn't have desire for a minute, but my freshman year of college, there was a beach volleyball court outside my dorm and there were some beautiful, beautiful college boys playing volleyball with their shirts off. And I was like, I had the quintessential queer question of like, do I want to look like that or be with that? And then the answer is both. And so
wow,
that's what began my slow journey of chipping away. I know some people have like, oh, at 10, I saw Robin and movie, like had abs. That's what made me gay.
Are you saying the musical artist Robin?
No, there's like the Batman and Robin.
Oh, Batman and Robin. Yeah, yeah, with the nipples. The nipples, yeah.
I mean, my sexuality is a beautiful flower.
It really is. So you're saying freshman year of college. I mean, I truly, when you said the answer, I had a visceral flashback to any beach scene of any chapter of my life. Men playing volleyball, there's something about it that is so...
Just enough jiggle. It's athletic. It's...
Shirtless.
I mean, that's really what it is. It's shirtless and in motion. That's what's so painful about these thirst traps today, these static figures and just people kind of like gently thriving. I want like a sprint. I want someone.
We need Harry Potter fucking holographic, like a volleyball spike on like the thirst trap does the spike.
You know what I just learned from TikTok today? You know how much Daniel Radcliffe made in Philosopher's Stone?
No, tell me.
$1 million. Guess how much he makes in Deathly Hallows?
How much?
$25 million for each part. That's the beautiful spectrum. 50.
Oh my God.
And it like slowly etched in my mind. I was watching the video, add them up, and I could just see the agents negotiate. He's a star. He's worth this, worth that.
Can you believe that someone like Daniel Radcliffe banks so many millions of dollars and then still chose to act and do and like work?
You
it
love
seems
the
to work.
Work
very hard.
Some people are doing it for the money. Some people are doing it for the craft. I think he's a craft.
He's a crafty. He looks crafty.
But those abs did it.
What do you attribute your late bloomingness to? Is it, I know that your dad is a pastor. Yeah. Is it a religious thing or what is
it? Yeah, I think so. It was very, sexual desire was a slow burn. So I don't think I changed so much in college, just being out of that environment. Because your brain can actually, I think I read somewhere, like, if you don't believe your keys are in your apartment, you're not going to find your keys. Mm-hmm. So I literally was like, my brain was probably closing myself off to parts of myself. And I wasn't like, also in Southern Virginia, there just aren't cute dudes. Maybe that was it too. But
where did you go to college?
Princeton in New Jersey. First in my family. And
I'm sure, well, first of all, congrats. And to go to Princeton.
My mom that's the badge of honor. Nothing I do anywhere else will ever. She's like, it's kind of funny you went to Princeton, now you're a comedian. I was like, why is that funny? I guess it's funny. It's funny. I mean, because she's like, you're wasting it. And I was like, oh, okay, maybe. I am.
Wait, why is that funny? I think that now picturing Ivy League volleyball players makes it even more delicious.
Oh.
Why are some wealthy, smart people also allowed to be that hot? It doesn't feel legal.
Oh, it's not. It's intergenerational hoarding wealth and like...
Equinox memberships.
And Equinox memberships and like the self-selecting of the genes to make things happen. Like these gorgeous, rich people, there's something sinister happening beneath there. And so that was the first time I was encountering that because I'm like a hillbilly from Southern Virginia and I get to on this like need-based aid to the school encountering wealth I've never seen. I don't think I fully knew how much money was there when I was there. It was like when I left, I was like, oh, wait, they had a private jet? Oh, the Rockefeller, was that Rockefeller? My class?
Oh my God.
No. And so I feel very lucky that I was just like having fun. I think I found people who like were similar story to become friends with. But yeah, there were some just babes. But so unfortunately, a lot of people didn't know they were gay yet. I think a lot more gay sex is happening in college now.
I believe that. I was a little frustrated when I was in college because I wanted to be having so much sex and I didn't do poorly, but I definitely was not having as much as I was not having much at all in the grand scheme of things.
Better for your studies.
I'd say so. I'd say my acting training, you can tell right now what it did for me.
Oh yeah. No, I'm seeing. What's your actor secret right now? You decided before this podcast, you were like, I murdered Zach's nieces.
My moment before was I just got off the volleyball court and one of the players slipped his sweaty fingers around my neck.
Oh, this is auditory porn, which is a genre. You know what my actor secret at my birthday party was?
What?
I had some expired almond milk just before. And so I was freaking out on whether that is bad or isn't bad. It was out the night before and I was like, is this bad? But then I felt a little something. Okay. And so I was like, oh, am I going to like vomit and shit myself during my whole birthday party? Sounds terrifying.
We're the same person, Zach. It's confirmed.
Maybe the more and more, everyone thinks I'm Jewish because of my like last name and like, I don't know.
Them men. I mean, you're literally, it sounds like you're a Virginia Christian but like maybe you are, Jew.
Or I guess I could like convert too.
If you want.
Does that complicate things when people then ask me if I'm Jewish? I'm like, yes.
No.
I converted.
I have such agita. I have such frustration with people that like gatekeep, especially Judaism. And it's not like it's not super widespread. I mean, kind of.
Are you holding a deck of cards?
Oh, yeah. This is my, what I do to, what's the word that I'm looking for? Fidget out of camera. I do think like if you converted to Judaism, you would say yes, I'm Jewish. Period. End of story. But I think the more important matter that I'm for sure wondering about is so you see these the volleyball playing hotties. When did you ultimately have your first boy moment?
Oh, it was that freshman year. And how dark does the pod get?
as dark as the hole goes.
It's not like, I mean, it's not like dark. I don't know. It was one of those. I got a blow job at the end of my freshman year, but did not reciprocate. And looking back, like, I was too drunk. He was a senior and I was too drunk to like it. I didn't deny it. I didn't stop it. And I don't wish him any ill, but I was like, oh, this wasn't like a totally.
It wasn't a resounding yes.
Yeah. Which maybe, I mean, it feels like a toxic belief to think like, oh, I need, like, I maybe it was so repressed, like that was the plane where this would happen. It had to be like,
oh,
intoxicated, like, but I'm sure there's a healthier version of my life story. But then sophomore year, I got and gave my first blowjobs, and that was great. I met a guy at brunch. I was taken to like the fancy eating club for brunch by another friend. And then someone met me and was like, are you straight, gay? And I was like, yes. And that was the first time, even to my friend, that I'd started to like vocalize or articulate. And then we were texting, I forget on what medium back then. But then we hooked up that night. And I just like remember I had a friend trip later that weekend. I was just remember describing, oh, I'm having a penis in my mouth. Oh, it was so good. Like,
I'm so happy for you.
And I left his sweatshirt and I like wore his sweatshirt, which feels very like collegiate.
It does. Oh my God. That's like the 1968 fantasy, but in current days. Can we talk about your parents? Speaking of blowjobs.
Oh my God. They're a mess. Wait, hot take. My dad this weekend was texting me about climate change. He's like, climate change is a hoax. And I was like, our birthday is a hoax because you missed my birthday. And he called me immediately. He was like, I did. I'm so sorry. I missed your birthday.
At least he apologized. That's sweet.
That's true. That feels like a leveling up. He's softening in his later years.
I do find that especially men, as they get older, I think like they're past the midlife crisis, they're past the repressed, I can't talk about my feelings, and they're like, at least I'm going to admit that I enjoy the presence of my blood family. And like, and I say that sort of sillily, but also like my grandfather, who is 94, I FaceTimed him yesterday. He was with my whole family, with my parents, and he saw my new dog on FaceTime, and he was like being very sweet, and then he said, sent love to my he was like, send love to Matt. And I was like, what a sweet just like, I don't know, it's like, I don't think it's like my bars on the floor, but I think just like to have like a 94-year-old man send love to my gay male husband, like that just always makes me happy.
Oh yeah, no, you're allowed to feel good from that.
Thank you. Poppy, what a good guy. What a mensch.
What if we then, I feel like it's like a live like you're dying kind of situation. Like, oh, in the face of, yeah, you're nicer later in life. Some people get mean, I guess, but
yeah.
What legacy do you want to leave? Like one of probably like love and joy and happiness and kindness and making sure everybody gets along and your kids love each other and their kids, et cetera, et cetera.
Do you think that on your deathbed, you're going to have a big secret you want to get off your chest?
Oh my God. Wait, now I do. I would love to like tell a setup if I achieve some bigger level of something. If I have like an HBO special, I want to tell a setup. I'm committing to this now. I'll tell a setup of a joke on my first HBO special that I will tell the punchline to on my deathbed.
Wait, does that mean you're going to have a camera on your deathbed?
Oh, like, aren't we all? I feel like that's... We all, like, the internet came up and, like, people are in their 20s and 30s on the internet. You realize we're all going to be live streaming our deaths and we're going to be live tweeting. Like, the internet's still kind of young, or the people on it. Like, I can't wait for all of our, like, aches and pains to become.
You're going to tweet, just got intubated. And then, like, some funny one-liner about it.
Like right now we post like, just got my monkeypox vaccine selfie. Yeah. It's going to be like, just got my shingles vaccine. Just got shingles for the first. The internet's going to be a mess as we all age.
So what are we going to be posting about when we're 85? There goes my other hip.
And some of us, no shade, lots of shade, are still going to be pretending to be 20. We're still going to be stanning the new pop star that just came out. And it's like, sir, sir, you need to finish your will. You can't go to the XYNW9Q4000 concert. That's right. Like, I imagine pop
that's
stars.
That's the future pop star, yeah.
In the future. You need also like love and like things all that you want. But I do feel like my age group is facing a crisis of like, do we join? Do we stan the queens that we came up with or switch to the new queens? Are we allowed to? And when do you stop giving up like, oh, I need to love this, the new 18-year-old of the month or of the year or of the decade?
I'm already like hearing name drops of, and I sound like an old person. It's like, what?
Onan Gray? I don't know who you are. You're in my TikTok. Is that his name?
I have no idea who you're talking about.
No shade to. It's like a
Ronan Gray?
Conan Gray? Someone's going to make, if someone clips this and makes fun of me, I'm going to get so mad. Conan Gray. They keep showing up in my TikTok. They're a pop star.
Never even heard. And I'm embarrassed because I'm sure.
6.5 million Instagram. I wish Conan nothing but the best.
I'm sure. Wait, can you actually sing your favorite Conan song? And what's it called again?
I have no idea.
Oh, I think it was called.
A trailer that's like, this could be a disaster.
Yeah, I love that one.
Okay,
this Conan, could be a disaster.
I feel like I'm in trouble. But Conan, you seem great.
I'm not stressed at all. Conan has 6 million followers.
Yeah, you're right.
Conan's okay.
Don't unleash your army on me. I'm a fan.
You're like, we're all living in perpetual fear of the BTS army.
They run the world.
Wait, can you tell me, just so we can know generationally how much older you are than me, how old are you?
Wow. this came up recently. Someone at my little birthday gathering posted a picture of me, and it said, gorgeous, gorgeous girls are 34. And I reshared it, and I was like, am I really coming out as 34?
34 is a great, that's a great age.
Great age. But I do feel like people conceptually don't get it, or I'm like new to people. And so maybe you think I'm also, should I be more fan at this?
No.
Should I be, they're like, oh, or like, why are you like telling jokes in a bar? What a fucking loser. You're 34. Get a real job.
I read a tweet that was actually really helpful the other day that said that, stop thinking that you haven't done enough. Like, I turned 35 and I feel like my life started then, like at 35, and like I started to do the things I really wanted to do, et cetera, et cetera. And from my perspective watching you, you are so like in your stride and like nailing it and like so funny and good. And I think like it doesn't matter how old you are because you're doing what you're put on this earth to do in such a cool, good way.
That's inspiring. And I do feel like I'm doing things now that I wanted to do when I was 20.
Yes.
And so if I just embrace that rather than, yes, why didn't I get to do them well?
Yes.
Oh, because my mom didn't like star on XYZ show, or my dad didn't give me $1 million to like fail for 5 years. Oh, because I had religious trauma I had to sort through and figure out my identity. If you talk to me, whenever I'm like, oh, kids today on TikTok, they can like put their thoughts out. I'm so jealous of that. And I'm like, no, if I had a TikTok at 17, it would be
disastrous,
religious themed. I'd be doing foot songs. I'd be with that little aunt, is his name Anthony, the guy who did the Lady Gaga thing.
I was just going to ask about that. How sad is that? He did the Alejandro lip syncing, and now he's doing the full religious videos. I think his name is Staten Harry. He's a Jesus freak now. It's sad.
And you can just hear, not that, I mean, I guess live your life, but you can just hear inside of him, this is not the full version of who you're going to be. Like it was closer when you were a kid to who you were. And then something's pushed it out of you, as the world often does. And I hope it comes out. Like,
God, I hope so. I think you made a very good point that what we are witnessing is the young version of him was him uncensored and undeterred by society. And then the Jesus version is what he thinks he is supposed to be. And I cringe at the thought of what, A, I would have, I mean, I recorded a video at like too old but too young of me doing Clay Aiken's Invisible in my basement and doing a music video and like doing like ballet, like, I mean,
release it, Eric.
I would love to find it, but like, would I release with a paywall maybe, but I think that
send it to me on my birthday.
Yeah, I will next year, 35. But then I think if I was like 2 years before coming out and I was trying to adhere to what society, what I probably would have been like, said something like misogynistic. I don't know what I would have done. Like, I would have, I don't know what the version of me that's like the societal accepted quote unquote version of me would have been like, but nothing good, I don't think.
No.
So I'm happy that we didn't have it then. I wish I would be better at editing quicker videos now because they're so good at these kids are so good at it now, but like I don't wish that I had TikTok as a 15-year-old. Kill me.
Oh, fair. Yeah, you're right.
I do need to ask another podcast question, which you don't know the answer to, but we're going to figure out together. Zach Zimmerman, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress. Who would you save?
This is where I fail in my gay identity. I don't actually know a lot of like names of actresses and things.
That's okay. Can you tell me a movie that...
I wish I could be someone who's just like, you know who needs to be... I'm saving Janet Kimberly.
Oh my God, Janet Kimberly.
Incredible in XYZ and XYZ. And I just don't have that background. I don't have that knowledge.
Well, then, wait, I actually accept every gay person here except for furries. I'm kidding. But I do think that... can you tell me a movie that like, if someone were to turn it on, you're just like, I like this movie. Like, and it could be any movie. Did you watch Jennifer Lopez as a Wedding Planner?
No, I watched some of Marry Me recently.
I didn't see that. Did you watch Brendan Fraser in, what's it called? It's a movie that I just thought of. What's it called?
The Mummy?
I love The Mummy.
I'm Googling character actresses right now. Catherine Hahn is a character actress?
Yeah, I would say so. I think,
is that demeaning? Character actress?
No. It's like
that definitional? It's like, aren't all actresses playing characters?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the way I use it on this podcast was any fucking woman. Like, I just think there's like...
But it is a phrase, like, oh, you're a character. Like, Melissa McCarthy is a character.
Yeah, actress. But I do think it, like, has a more positive connotation now. Like... here's the movie I was trying to think of that I think needs to be researched. It's Bedazzled with Brendan Fraser and Elizabeth Hurley. Did you see this movie?
No.
I think it might give you an awakening because it made me question my sexuality because Elizabeth Hurley is so sexy in it. But I think I loved her in the movie because not only is she sexy, but she plays so many different types of people. She's the devil, but she comes in many different costumes. Like, she's like a naughty teacher at one point. And Brendan Fraser is so handsome. I think it should be gay canon, that movie.
I want to watch this now. Yeah, she is hot.
She's so hot.
I think we should normalize gay men wanting to sleep with women and having sex with, like, let's move on.
I don't disagree. I think that we should normalize the gay men who are among the spectrum of wanting to do that. I think I'm biologically unable to.
Oh, I see.
Are you biologically able to sleep with a woman?
Oh, yeah. I've slept with a lot of women.
Good for you.
That's maybe my secret. On my deathbed, I'd be like, I was bi all along.
Do you think you're bi?
Probably, but I'm not ready to. Okay. I don't know. I like queer. It makes a little room. I don't think I want to marry, I don't know, I guess I'm open. I don't think I want to marry a cis woman, but my early experience, it's a way of honoring my early experiences, and even in college, it's been a while. I don't want to shut myself off to any love. So if there are beautiful people out there that want to enjoy my company, I welcome them in all their forms.
But they just have to be hairless.
That is non-negotiable. I can't do a beard. I've kissed people with I have very sensitive skin. I will break out. I will have a beard of pimples if I love the man with a beard.
I love that you know this about yourself though, and I'm trying not to take it personally.
But wait, I'm Googling. Did you know the TV show The Leftovers?
Yes. Justin Theroux?
Yes. There's Anne, I'm looking up her name. Anne Dowd. I would say.
Great answer.
I didn't know her name until just now, Googling it. But whenever I see her in something, I know something incredible is about to happen.
Like quintessential character actress. Okay. And Zach, a brilliant answer. I think you should feel proud.
Thank you. I'm gay for another day.
Gay for pay.
What else is she in? I should watch other things of her.
Isn't she Handmaid's Tale?
Which I started to watch and maybe I was too dark for me. But I was like, in that fucking pilot, I'm like watching. It made me question. Yeah. I was like, maybe some scenes shouldn't be filmed. Maybe they should just be written and we imagine them. But I'm like,
well, can you imagine the things that were
rape right now? I don't want to be watching this. Like
the things being filmed now, and then think about when after we go to the concert for X3218, and then we go home and watch Euphoria 12, and it's like you're just watching a live, I don't know what.
By then, we'll have to actually kill the performers to feel anything from
a show. Or when you watch the murder scene, the blood comes out of the TV and your couch is ruined.
Oh, like the technology exists?
Yeah.
That's like, kind of fun.
Or what if it's like a sex scene and then like the TV starts sweating?
Or coming. I wish you had said that when they were asked what the kids' first word will be. You'd be like... I hope a TV sweats when there's a sex scene.
Can you imagine I do a full monologue about the future of coming televisions?
My friend just went to a baby shower thing where I guess the baby had been born. It was a 1-year-old birthday and the baby crawls towards different objects to decide what the baby's career will be. And I guess the baby crew to a compass and a pen. And so I was like, oh, colonizer, great. That would have been my joke had I been there. But I think he said something like, oh, a philosopher, like a moral compass or something. But I want to do that as an adult. Like if we go to a party and we have like 10 objects and you get to like go towards which one speaks to you, and then you make friends with the other people near the objects.
Oh, so you could all colonize together.
Yeah.
That's so sweet. Baby's first colonizing.
Baby's
first. Listen, Zach Zimmerman, I'm going to ask you a question you're not prepped for, which is to end this gorgeous interview, which you might be nervous to answer, and I support you Googling more. What is the best Whoopi Goldberg film?
Why? I mean, Ghost immediately jumped to mind. I don't know if that's true. Or Sister Act.
That's my personal choice, but you're doing great. These are great answers.
Stand. I didn't see the Stand remake, but I remember her wanting to play a character in Stephen King's The Stand.
I didn't see that, but I love that for her, doing a Stephen King adaptation.
Oh yeah, she was in The Stand.
Oh good, Zach. I didn't see it. You're on top of it. I have to say,
with Google, I'm almost a functioning gay person.
Invincible. Before we, you tell us where to follow you, I want everybody to pre-order your book, Is It Hot in Here? It's out November 1st. It is, I just think you're exploding in a way that is just so deserved. And now can you tell us where people can follow you?
Oh, that's so kind. I'm on Instagram and TikTok and Twitter. It's all at ZZZZ, terrible handle. The letter ZZ, the word double, then ZZ again. And the book, yeah, you can pre-order it now. It's called Is It Hot in Here or Am I Suffering for All Eternity for the Sins I Committed on Earth? You can get it on Bookshop at your indie bookstore, or it's also on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. But yeah, it comes out November 1st. Pre-orders are very helpful, so that books are very hard to make happen, and so it means a lot if anyone will pre-order it, please, so I can write another one.
Please, everyone, pre-order that thing. And thanks for listening to That's a Gay Fucking Podcast, and thanks for coming on, Zach.
Oh my god, thanks for having me, Eric. Have so much fun in LA. I can't wait to see you when I'm there next.